thank you so much for coming here. If you don't know where you are, you're at Artist Life School. Today we are very excited to be talking with Ian Fitz to talk to us about how to talk about our work. I'm going to do a quick little spiel about a very important event that you all need to know about and that I can easily point out because we're across the way from it. Am I right? This Friday, 2 days only, we have a pop-up off-site exhibition by Shi Lee, who is stuck in Auckland, so unfortunately can't be with us. But if you are into video work, anti-capitalism, lots of stimulating images, and critical analysis of culture and globalism, you should definitely come along. It's going to be up for only 2 days. It's going to be a massive work in the empty space there that's in the car park building in the foyer that we've like snaffled our way into. Pop up on Friday at the launch. We're having beer and pizza. It's also a massive space, so we don't have the same issues that we do at the gallery with numbers. So just come on in and we can, it's massive, so we can fit heaps of people in there. Come and have some beer and pizza, come celebrate with us, come and see the amazing work. There's more information online. You can take one of these beautiful posters with you, if you like, for some additional goodness. I'm gonna come back in and tell you more about stuff, but I would quickly like to hand over to Kai Hitchcock, who is the director of the beauteous place that you find yourself in, to tell us a bit about the Green Lab and Understory and some of the health and safety stuff, and then we'll get into it.
It's lovely your health and safety, Kai. Kia ora koutou. Ko Kai Hitchcock tōku ingoa, nga mihi nui kia koutou. It's so awesome to have you all here tonight. My name is Kai Hitchcock, my pronouns are they, them. I'm the program director at the Green Lab. We are a not-for-profit organisation that has been going in Ōtautahi since the earthquakes. We used to be Greening the Rubble, and our primary purpose is to create green spaces which promote social connection, wellbeing and community building. So this is our latest project, this is called Understory. The co-papa of this space is based on the ecology of a thriving forest. So between the canopy and the ground cover is the understory. It's a really biodiverse space where saplings shoot up and develop their strategies for being the trees of tomorrow. But it's also a space where there's a lot of understory specialists that are your tree ferns and your shrubs and things like that. They provide a lot of habitat, and a healthy understory means that the entire forest is thriving. We like to think about Ōtautahi as that. We have our big funders, our big organisations like the City Council or the Rata Foundation, they're your big PO, and the other big organisations. And there's a whole lot of us operating in this understory. So we really wanted to create a space where those of us that maybe have no desire to be up in the canopy or are on our way there and are looking for ways to collaborate and connect with others could be together. So during the day, this is a community co-working space. It's accessible by sliding scale. You pay as you can. There's a few leaflets and things around, so if you want to have a look at that, you're most welcome to. But we are here Monday to Friday, 9 till 5, and we would love to see you here again. We're right next door to Little Andromeda. If you don't know about that glorious pop-up that started as in a tent outside Tauranga like 3 years ago, I think now, and is now occupying the space back through the other way. And if you want to afterwards, I believe that they're open tonight and there is a bar and you can go have a drink. Yeah.
Saxophone beer. There's a saxophone beer pouring device.
Anyway, they're a wonderful local theatre. There's programs of theirs. They've got a great season happening.
Okay.
So health and safety wise, as you may have noticed, coming into this building is like accessing some sort of fortress, but leaving this building is exceedingly easy. So if there is an emergency, all of the doors will unlock and you'll just be able to go straight down. Please don't use the elevator, just go past them. The stairwell is to your right after the elevators. If you're looking for the wharepaku, there is a gender neutral one just out the door you came in and to the right. You will need to push the door open and just kind of like nudge one of us so that we can keep you coming back in. Otherwise there are gendered bathrooms down the corridor to your left. In the case of an earthquake, drop cover and hold. If we need to evacuate, we will. If the alarms go off, we'll be evacuating. The assembly point is on the grass down there. We are super stoked to be hosting the physics room tonight. Thank you so much for always coming through to support us, and really looking forward to hearing your talk, Emma. So, hand over to you.
Kia ora, guys.
The mic should be on, so
Well, you've got to be queen of recording things.
Emma Fitch should need no introduction. If you haven't already like a big fan of her work, you should probably be a big fan of Frances Nascent. And they fuel me with a lot of, like, they fuel our office with coffee and help us with snacks and all sorts. That's enough for me. Let's get you comfortable and sharing the wisdom.
Is the lapel mic recording? Do we need this? Up to you. Have a blah. How's that? Can you hear me? Okay, cool. Can I put that down a little so I can see your faces? Okay, cool. Okay, kia ora everybody. It's really nice to be here. I've been up here into this space before. Yeah, it's good to see a few familiar faces. I wasn't really sure on who would be here tonight. So it's kind of been interesting putting together a bit of a talk, not being, totally sure who the audience was, but it looks like a great, diverse bunch of you. I'm going to try to talk about how to talk about your work, which, when the physics room asked me to try and talk about this, I was excited and I was like, yep, sure, I'd love to share some ideas. And then when I went to do it, I found it really hard. Because there's not many guidelines and there's no hard and fast rules. What I'm presenting tonight is just my thoughts and you can just take it or leave it. Hopefully take bits of it that you might be able to morph into useful things for your own practice. But there's no sort of one size fits all for this at all. But I just, it was a difficult task, but it actually quite an interesting one to try and deconstruct how I talk about my practice. And just the things that as artists, you're meant to know. There's a lot of assumed knowledge. And then when I went to look it up on the internet, like these things like what is an artist bio, what's a statement, it's pretty general and not that helpful, so hopefully this is a little helpful. I'm going to talk about this is quite basic stuff tonight. Some people will know, other people might not know. I'll cover artist bios and artist statements, artist CVs, and then a little bit on artist talks. I'll show a bunch of images with the slides as well. This is Claude Cahoon, who I thought was a good one. Lots of autobiographical images that I thought were quite a nice sort of companion to the talk tonight. There's a little bit of knot theory, which is this image that I've been looking at recently. Thought that was kind of nice for the tangles and overlaps that we get ourselves into when trying to do bios and statements. And then lots of Venn diagrams too. I'm really interested in how things overlap. Although they're really difficult, bios and statements and things, like it's hard work but really useful work for your practice. I think if you can write a really good artist statement, it means that you're on your way to creating some good work that you can clearly understand and articulate. As a way of introducing myself, this is my bio. it's what I gave Audrey when she asked me to do this talk. I'll just read a bit of it. My name, Emma Fitz, New Zealand-based artist whose practice moves across the disciplines of painting, photography, and sculpture. I studied fine art at the University of Canterbury, Otatahi, prior to master's study at the Glasgow School of Art in Scotland. My recent exhibitions include Touching Sight, Paint, etc., Softly Spoken, Bright Cave, Necessary Distraction, da-da-da. Then I go on to talk about some solo presentations, recent residencies, and say again where I'm living and what my gallery affiliation is. This is my short bio. It's about 250 words. I have another one that's a bit longer.
Okay. So just to go over the basics, what is a bio and a statement? So the difference between the artist bio is like what I just showed you. It's more of a general biography of the artist, of yourself. So it's covering where you're based, where you studied, and your recent exhibitions. Usually in that first sentence, I'll put where I'm based and what I do. Just really, what kind of artist you are. You're a photographer, you're based in Christchurch. Then your artist statement is a little bit more complex. It's giving you the an introduction to the ideas and concepts behind your work, of your work in general, or it might be a particular body of work or a specific project that you're working on. Statements generally a bit harder to come up with. Both the bio and the statement are the first introductions to your work, or often the first introductions to your work, and they're quite often not accompanied by visuals. So they are really, really important because it's the gateway. So it's sort of the way to get people hooked into wanting to spend more time with your images. So they're annoying, but they're really, you've got to spend time with them. Okay, so why do you need one? Yeah, you will know this probably by now. For any application that you're doing, whether it's CNZ funding, open call for exhibitions, you'll need one. You want to, start a gallery project. Anywhere, any situation where somebody wants to know that you're serious, you know, you've thought about what you're doing, you're able to articulate your aims. You need it to give context to your work. So it's an opportunity for you to give a sort of portal for somebody to understand the visuals that they're going to look at soon. And think of it also, rather than just a pain, as being something that is useful and adds difference. So if you can write really honestly and clearly, it can sort of set you apart or set you, give you an advantage, I guess, like hook somebody into your work, really make them want to look at your full proposal. So it's a chance to add difference. Okay. So bios sort of covered this already. Where you live, what you make, where you studied, or what you're studying. Outline your recent achievements, recent exhibitions, residencies, awards. You might not have many yet, depending on what stage of your career you're at. But there's usually something. There'll be an exhibition that you've had in the school that you studied at. This is where you can be slightly creative in that, like create an opportunity, a situation where the public has viewed your work. Or it might be a scholarship that you got awarded at university. Anything extra.
How far is recent?
I usually go back 5 years. Yeah. If you have enough, but I don't usually go back more than 5. Depends on the situation though. Like if I'm going for, generally for proposals, I'd do that 5 years, but if I'm going for a much bigger commission or something, then, and I'm wanting to show a more full career, I'd go back, 10, 15 years. And then it's kind of similar question in a way for the length of them. For both bios and statements, you need a short and a long version, I suggest. A short one being about 250 words, and so paragraph, and then the longer one being 500. You can also sometimes need one that's 50 words, which is really short, just a couple of sentences. Just have a Word document where you're keeping all this information, so you've got your skeleton, and then you can shift it as you go. Okay, so the statements, Your statement should give the reader a clear picture of your process without needing a visual frame of reference. So there's no image to accompany your work, but you want to paint a picture with words. The statement should give the reader a clear and concise idea of... This is sort of like a one way of coming up with that artist statement, I guess. So why you work. So what drives you to make the work? What are the things that interest you behind the actual object? So it might be that you're interested in capitalism or climate change. What are the big themes around your work? How you work. So that's where you can start to talk about processes a little bit. So it might be like, for me, it's textiles. I'm interested in the ways, the warp and weft of fabric and how that relates to histories and this interconnectedness of histories. And then where you situate your work culturally and historically. I'm just going to grab some more notes. So yeah, to give you, some examples of things that I've said about my work or other people. It gets easier as you get more established as well, because other people start to write about your work. So this is what someone else has said about my work, Melanie Oliver, I think. So this would be the why. Fitz is interested in the histories of textiles and women artists translating the form, composition, and colour of 20th century paintings into bold sculptural textiles. I always have a document where I grab this stuff as well, like take sentences where somebody's writing quite clearly about things that I'm doing, and then it gives me ideas for how I can rework that text. You don't want to copy it, but it's just, or to remind you also of what you do can be quite helpful. And then the how. So I could say things like, you know, that's when you can start to talk about the physicality of the work. Constructed with many layers, folds, and shapes, these works bring canvas into conversation with the human body. And that one, the where, I think is quite important, how to... So if you can identify that, how your work has a like a contemporary relationship, that immediately gives the viewer a hook into it. So it gives them an understanding of, I understand the pressing nature of climate change, whatever. So that's it's going to make them, you're just trying to entice people to want to find out more about your work. So those why, how, where should show the what. So if you can write about those, you're trying to ideally create some kind of image in the reader's head of what your work is about, which is easier said than done, especially when you just put all your energy into making the work. It's been a complicated process. You often don't quite know what you're doing, and then you're expected to articulate it here. Just see this as an ongoing process. I'm always, still now, constantly shaping and reshaping my artist statement, which I think is good. It should, you don't want to have a stagnant practice anyway. It should change and evolve with you. So, because everyone's work is different, your statement should all be different. This is for some, some of my students might have done this with you, but in order to generate an artist statement, I try to just get people talking about their work. In quite a conversational way as well, because people can get a bit caught up on trying to sound like an artist or talk in kind of in a particular way, and that can really hold you back or get a bit confusing. So I find that a conversation is a good way of like getting around that situation. So this is something that you can do in a peer, in a group, in your studio, or on your own. So these sort of useful questions to get you to talk about your work. So what kinds of things do you make art about? How do your interests come through in your work? What materials, processes do you usually use in your work? What have you been working on recently? And describe your studio to me. So those questions are trying to pull out those things I was just mentioning before of the how, where, why, in order to paint the what. When you're doing that, just make sure you can just talk. Get your partner to write down and take notes, or use your recorder on your phone. And then once you've done that, it's quite painful, but just immediately try to write something. Play it back to you, read it, and try and write a statement. Just like force yourself to do it. I'm such a sucker for punishment, and just keep doing it until you've got something. And then once you've got something, and it won't be perfect, it's just like going to be some words on a page that you feel happy to, well, it's like in a position where you can get some feedback. Get feedback. So get feedback from other artists. And then also non-artists, so family and other friends, they generally give you really good feedback and quite honest feedback. And they're really good at pulling you up on where you're, getting lost, or things are getting a little bit convoluted. Give them a copy of it, get them to underline what they don't understand, ask you questions. You can record that conversation as well if they're happy with that. But just be open with it. Like, just see it as an exercise. Like, it's quite hard to not be too precious, and I can certainly get really grumpy when somebody's like trying to like pin me down on like, what do you mean about, I don't know, a particular type of textiles and histories or whatever. And it's difficult work, but just keep trying. and then you can also get someone who is more familiar with wordsmithing to help you. If you know any writers or people who are just good with language, get their feedback as well. And just try to be as honest with yourself as you can. So once you've been through what could be a kind of brutal experience of giving your statement to non-artist people, do the same thing with yourself. Just be quite ruthless with it, cut out things that you're not understanding. I never see that as, it's not like you're losing work at that stage, even though your script might be moving from like 10 sentences down into two. I think that's a really useful exercise and you're gaining clarity. It's way better to say something in two sentences, I think, than 10 that don't really say much. Just be, I don't know, if you're applying for loads of stuff, it might get confusing with what you're actually applying for. And different opportunities will need different tailoring as well. Might be that if you're applying for a commission, you want to refer to a particular type of work. So your statement won't be so general. It will be more tailored to talk more specifically to that work you're referencing. Or if it's a really formal thing as well, you might need a slightly different language if you're applying for an academic position. Then the thesaurus is a really good tool. and is reading, I'll come back to that one, but try to think of the statement as well as like depending on what you're applying for. If it's a if it's something academic, you probably do need to keep make it quite formal. I don't know, but if it's generally they are, there's a little bit, they are kind of malleable, and you want to find a structure that suits you. So if your work is really academic, then you probably want to write in a very formal way. But if your work is, I don't know, performative and unscripted, then a more casual tone is going to suit you.
What classifies as an academic work?
I don't know, if you're making art about art, possibly. Like if you're really, you know, referencing particular art histories, like that's what your interest is, as opposed to, I don't know, yeah, work that's, I mean, you might be really against doing that, so you might not want to use anything that sounds like an academic word or references an art history.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks.
It's okay. And just read a lot. There are actually bios and things on gallery websites. Like if you look up the artists, and then it will often have a little statement about their work. Like if you're just putting into Google artist bios, not much comes up, but you have to be more specific about your research. Yeah, just read and get a feel for the type of writing that you like, the type of writing that you think sits with your work, and just keep a note of it. Things to avoid, I think. Jargon or empty expressions that lack specificity. It's hard to do, like, yeah. But try to be specific, try to be really clear. Grandiose statements about your work or the role in the world as an artist, I don't know. You're probably not doing that anyway, but just be aware of that there's loads of other artists out there too who are trying to do things and, yeah. This one I think is sort of interesting. I don't think you should get too personal unless it's specific to the work. Maybe your work is about grief, say, and it might come from a really personal experience that you have had. I would suggest just hooking on to the larger idea of grief. But you don't have to get too detailed into the specifics of your particular situation. Like, you have a short amount of time, so you want to let people be able to identify with the bigger, with the larger problem, rather than having to understand the specifics of your particular interest, if that makes sense. Unless it's really relevant to your work. Okay. I thought, this one I kind of hate, but I thought I would try to write something about it. Because I think I don't have a good 30-second pitch about my work, but if I was to get better at it, I guess this is how I would think about it. And I do think it's a useful thing to have, because you get asked a lot, probably, what do you do? I'm an artist. What kind of work do you make? And then I often just get grumpy and tired. But so I would really like a statement, like something that just rolled off the tongue. So this is what I'm going to work on next, I think. and it's like a, it's just, it's like a smaller statement. I guess it's the same framework, your the what, why, how, where. I would suggest trying to give them a quick what, like I'm an artist, I work across painting, photography, sculpture. Why, I'm interested in different feminist histories and getting those into the world. How do you make it? I use textiles as a medium. And where does it fit within larger culture? I don't know. But you want to try to have that, I think, a 30-second pitch. Yeah, it's amazing how often you get asked it. I'm sure you already know. That's a bit I struggle with, I think, is keeping it light, because it's really important to me. I feel like it's difficult to just, just say a little bit and not a lot. So then I try to like actually not say anything, but you should do this. Keep it light so you can get a hook for conversation in an ideal world too. Excuse me. I guess the attitude here would be, again, your conversation, you want to have it mutually beneficial as well. So this is good practice for you as well, trying to get to be succinct, to be clear, and you might get an opportunity out of this. Who knows who you're talking to? So yeah, it's an ongoing thing. Keeps changing. Keep adding to it. You'll need various lengths, things like that. While I have some more water, I want you guys to try to do this. I'll give you 5 minutes and just turn to the person next to you and try and get a bio and an artist statement out of them. You can record it if you want, if the person's happy to. It's nice to see you all trying that out. It's quite a lot to like take on board, isn't it? And then it's sort of good to like, I don't know, bring it back to yourself and try to get some words out there. Yeah, Abby, you just reminded me of something we were chatting about before, like with the length of the bios too, like, or the statements, whether you're doing a short one, the 50 word or 250 word or the longer full page, they should be covering this, both of these things. So the short one should say just as much as the long one. So yeah, that's really difficult, but quite crucial. So a couple of sentences, you should be able to like get somebody going on your practice, ideally. And even if you've got a really great long statement and you really want to use it, but the application says, in a short bio, 200 words, always do what they're asking for. Think of the person on the other side of that reading 150 proposals. You're probably just going to annoy them and they won't get through the whole text. Like the short one is, yeah, worth spending a lot of time on to get it like really singing. So yeah, what you've just done there, just keep doing that, record it, and then force yourself to try and start writing and then share that with your friends and whānau. Okay, then just touch quickly on CVs or resume. I don't know, like this too, it just also depends on what you're applying for. 2 pages, 2 to 4, I don't, this, yeah, sort of how long is a piece of string in a way, but again, you're wanting it to be concise, ideally. An artist CV, definitely tailor it like you would a job, you know, a CV where you're going for jobs a teacher or a job as a retail assistant, whatever you're doing. So yeah, gauge who you're submitting it to and what information is going to be most useful. This is basic stuff too. Always have your full length master copy as a Word document and your that's the skeleton that you're riffing off. So you can make an abbreviated one from that. And yeah, saving Word and PDF versions. And then these, you will know this probably, but that's your basic information for your artist CV. It's got the information of your bio. I put in solo exhibitions and group exhibitions. You can play around with formatting for that. Just go for clarity. I put in collaborative projects as well. I think they're always really good to talk about. Add in if your work's in any collections, private or public collections, bibliography if people have written about your work. There's, you know, artist review sites like Vernacular or Pentagraph Punch maybe, or there's a various websites around, so somebody might have written about your work or a show that you've been involved in, that can go on there. Related professional experience, so maybe you're volunteering at the physics room or you're volunteering somewhere else, you can definitely put that information in. Any shows you've curated, that happens quite a lot for practicing artists these days, put that in too. Okay, and talks. So these are, as you'll know, like in all different forms. Panel, you might get asked to be involved in a panel discussion, give a lecture, be in conversation with somebody, perhaps a curator, or do an interview for the radio, who knows. I would just go to as many talks as you can to familiarise yourself with what happens in them. Doesn't have to be a talk that aligns totally with your practice. I think it's interesting to go and look at the format of the talks and just see how the people present their work. Like some of, yeah, a lot of the talks that I've, the most memorable talks I've been to haven't even, they've just been on the off chance almost, or yeah, haven't been practices that I thought I would actually be that interested in. But to me, yeah, I really like talks that, or artist talks that give a lot of background information, that talk about the research to the work, that give, I don't know, give you an insight as to what makes that artist tick a little bit, or what, yeah, what are the points of inspiration, I guess. So things that you really can't find out by just looking at the work. Looking at the work is one experience and a really great one. I feel like an artist talk is a good opportunity to really go beyond that and give, I don't know, yeah, more background information.
How do you define that space of giving people information about your work, yet not necessarily narrating as well, like still leaving that space? Like, it's a really tricky thing to quantify. It just struck a chord with what you were saying. Yes, I want to give them more.
Yeah.
But also, do I have to give them everything?
Yeah, it's tricky. I think for your artist talk, like, preparation is key. So a bit like the artist statement, like, you're trying to, like, find those things that are, yeah, it's got a personal relationship but also a greater relationship. So it might be, I think it's nice to share some anecdotes in an artist talk, but so long as it relates to a larger picture. So that's where, yeah, just again, sort of going through your talk and just making sure that, yeah, each point has a point beyond itself, but like back to your work.
Yeah.
And so you'll be asked to give talks of varying lengths. Some might just be 10-minute conversations or up to an hour. Might be questions after as well. Form.
Do we mean conversations in your bio? You mean formal conversations, not just I bumped into Simon in front of the painting when we talked about.
In the what? Sorry, in the bio.
Yeah.
Or in the.
In the CV. Talks you've given.
Oh right. No, I mean sorry, in conversation with the curator or a formal conversation, like it's another form of, they're quite popular,
yeah,
way of giving artist talks these days is, yeah, like this is one, or it could have been Abby and I up here chatting about this, yeah. Yeah, artist talks, like, they're a bit, like everything tonight. So you just find the right form for you. Find a form that fits your practice. If you're a performance artist, I mean, maybe you want to do a performative lecture. If you might feel much more comfortable in giving a very formal talk, so you might want to read more like an essay that you've written, or you might just want to have a conversation. Sort of, I guess this is what I think is like a conversational tone slightly, what I'm doing tonight. Okay, so just breaking it down, like some basic ways to think about a talk if you were to give one. Introduction, set basic things from your bio and your statement, so you're introducing those big overarching ideas of your work. Yeah, I like hearing about, well, for a talk, like what got somebody into making making their work. Was there something that happened to them, or a work that they saw? I don't know. What was the, for me, a big motivating factor for the work that I make, and one of the works I'm showing here was returning to Christchurch after the earthquakes in 2014. I got an interest in architecture, and in particular a soft architecture, because I was seeing things collapsing at great speed and then being rebuilt, and thinking of loss, and decided that textiles was a great way to talk about those things, for a number of reasons. So choose your images to begin with that give like this context. I'm interested in biographies of people, exhibition histories, archives, and architecture. So when you're giving a talk, try and have these things as talking points rather than just descriptions. You might want to tell somebody what this image alludes to, but for me, I don't know, this way you need to go and see lots of talks. I never like being told particular things. I like being sort of talked around particular things. In the body of the talk, I think it's really interesting to show things that people wouldn't usually see. So studio shots, process shots, also depends on what kind of art, like how you make work as well. I'm quite a magpie. I like look at all sorts of different things from lots of different areas, fashion, furniture, sport even. Can be good to show that to the viewer, just open your practice up a little. This one I'm looking at the moment. It's, this outfit here was one of the first short sleeve tennis outfits that was worn. It's yellow silk. It's quite amazing. And I guess this is kind of like what we were talking about before, like try, I think it's good to have those kind of more on the edge images, and then pull it back to your images as well. So how are you processing all that research or all those things you're looking at? Yeah, depending on how comfortable you feel with it, but yeah, I like showing the research, even the failures. So I think that's a really important part of art making. And as artists, we're dealing with it all the time. I guess studio shots show failures as well. Or key things can come out of those points where you're pushing yourself to the point of failure. And talk about current projects too. You want to give people a reason to be invested in your work. So let them in on something that you're working on in the future. This is, I'm working on a commission for object space at the moment, and that's the living room in my house, and I'm trying to sort of transpose that environment into the outdoor plinth area of this gallery in Auckland. And then you'll be at your conclusion. I don't know, the whole talk, you can think of it as a bit of a narrative as well. It can be quite useful to structure it like that. Well, it's like writing an essay, I guess. You've got your introduction, the bulk of the talk, and then your conclusion, where you try to address some of those things that you've brought up in the beginning of the talk, or the middle of the talk. I love questions, and I don't think you should be scared of just asking questions, kind of rhetorical questions, I guess, if you're giving a talk. But well, that's a lot of my practice, is just about asking questions, and kind of really difficult questions, or questions that can't necessarily be answered as well. And I think it's nice to share that with an audience. So it shows the, I don't know, I think it's a vulnerable position to be talking about your work or presenting. And you can sort of play with it as well. Like, and I think that presenting questions is, I don't know, a way of showing that vulnerability. But then also finish with strong images. That might encourage questions, but quite often it doesn't. Okay. Yeah, you're the authority on your work. That's what I've always still try to tell myself. I get incredibly nervous before giving any talk, and this one helps to calm my nerves. I know what I'm doing, kind of, somewhere in my subconscious, probably. And generally the audience is kind, like they've taken time out to come and listen, like it should be a safe environment. Yeah, vulnerable place to be, both the speaker and the audience too. And that's quite neat as well, like try to think of the positives of that. Yeah, you decide on the format. So this collaging of images that I use, that's one way that I quite like presenting, because it shows overlaps and you get to see, I haven't done it that well in this talk, but I try to get people to see multiple things at once. So even though it's quite a, can seem like a rigid format, there's ways of getting it to align a bit more with your practice. Yeah, know your talking points, practice it. Don't just describe the work. Think of your audience, try and make it interesting for them. Yeah, same sort of thing, be critical. What's most interesting? Practice. Get feedback. That will help you prepare for questions. Make yourself available. It's good for building your network as artists as well. So hang around after talks, chat to people. Resolve technical problems beforehand. It's often up to you. Tonight was really awesome. I didn't have to do anything. But often it's not like that. And it's just technology too, like there'll be hiccups. I always think it's kind of your responsibility, like in the end you're the one that's going to be embarrassed or like, so yeah, get there early, just get involved in that if you can. This will probably go up on the Physics Room website, I think, but these are some useful links. This one is amazing. I wonder if it I think these guys are the artist initiative in Orlando or somewhere. I'd never found this before, but it's really great. It's got a whole bunch on artist statements, exercises like the one I gave you, and then other ones like for, it's quite a nice one on there of just like describe a work in your studio, just getting you to sort of freeform and loosen up a bit. Then, yeah, what we've covered pretty much. And, oh, now I don't know how to get back.
My thousand tabs, the shame has been exposed. I think it's just...
Oh, there it is. Yeah. Oh, yeah, it's an article from The Guardian, and then this was some images on Claude Cahun, who I've been using tonight. And that's it. Those are the knots that you'll go through and untangle and, yeah, move forward in. But hope that's been helpful.
Thank you.
Just so that everyone knows, we will have a copy of these notes on the Physics Room website. So if you haven't jotted everything down, never fear, that'll be nice and easy to find on there. And we'll also have an audio recording and links. Shall we take a few minutes for questions?
Yeah, sure. If anyone's got
questions, I mean,
Abby.
Well, I just want to say thank you. I've learned so much from listening to not just this talk, but so many talks of yours over the years.
Oh, thank you.
And I also, I mean, I guess I always feel like it's incredibly generous. I know artist talks are very much like probably an expectation from many institutions and that come alongside of many opportunities, but it's something extra, right? Like you're already doing the work, you're already doing all the things that go into producing that output, and then this is like an additional thing. So I just think it's important to, like, especially someone like me, to like remember that and just mm-hmm. It's incredibly generous. The other thing I want to say about your talk that I've been to specifically, I always think they're quite amazing, and you do look back to your work all the time, but you make heaps of lateral connections out to like other forms, other discourses, other things which I might have arrived thinking is so different and far from your practice, but you connect things up really interestingly. So I suppose I want to fight for the lateral connections as well, definitely talking about your practice, but like, you know, your practice in particular has many relationships with other forms and other people. I think like you've got the mic, it's really great to like say the names of the people that you've worked with and you've connected with through research, and you know, your mom, if your mom's in your work, you know, like this is your time to like really be able to speak to that.
Yeah, it can be quite artist talks can be like hard and a bit of a pain sometimes. So I always like try to like use it as something. Yeah, I want it to be really to be useful for me too. I think that's why I quite like using it as a like my format as a bit more of a research document where I want to, and like a bit of an archive too, where I want to draw in all those connections because you know the work. Like, and so should your audience, really. Like, they've been to the exhibition, they've seen the show. Yeah, there's not that much. Well, I think it's just more useful to show, all those lateral.
Yeah, and other, is a whole different
kind of. Yeah.
And I just wanted to quickly share two things that I've, like, seen people do that I thought were awesome. One is, you can say no to being recorded. If you feel like that's, like, a barrier for you and, like, being free and saying what you need to say. I don't think you could say no, but you can say no to that. I just like, once when I was working at a gallery, this like really pro talk speaker came and she was like, I'm gonna be really off the cuff today. I don't want this to be recorded. And I was like, what? So I was like, hold on to that. And then the other one was, you can read. Like, I don't think it's amazing unless you really, really have to kind of read a whole talk. But if there's a section that's really complex for you or really poetic or really particular, I think it's totally fine to go, I'm going to read this next bit, I really want to nail it, and I've written it down, and I'm comfortable with that. And I know as an audience member, that's fine, like, that's completely fine. And then you can go back into more conversational tone when it feels.
Yeah, definitely.
I know it's really obvious, but me, I was like, oh yeah, I can do that.
Yeah. And that's where the visuals are really useful too, because as a viewer, you don't even notice really, and somebody's just reading, because you've got, you're being entertained by the visual.
My main question actually was, I just wondered if you mentioned that you get nervous, and I wondered if you have any tips or like any ways that you can deal with it.
Yeah, it's a pain. but like, just kind of what I was saying about just reminding yourself that you are the authority, that you do know what you're talking about, that it's your work, not anybody else's. So that is helpful, because I think that's what my nerves come from, is that somebody's gonna like undo me or like challenge me or something. Which has never happened. All those, horrible things, I imagine. Nothing's ever gone wrong. For me, it's boring, but it's preparation. Yeah. Practicing. Yeah. I had a friend, she tried hypnosis. Try that. If it's really bad. Work for her. Yeah. Tracy.
I just wanted to, first of all, just say that the exercise, the five-question exercise, was really helpful to me personally then, because Micah asked questions, and I suddenly started saying things I didn't even know that I knew. Answering about my work that I wasn't aware of, that it's actually just dawning and listening to you tonight, coming in properly, and I'm thinking, oh yeah, now that's actually what it's about. That's the connection I've just made tonight.
Oh, that's so cool.
A really useful thing. And for those people who couldn't come tonight because we're such limited tickets, is there the information you had on the screen that I was scribbling down, do you have that available for anybody?
Yeah, I think they're going to put this.
Oh, all of the whole thing is going to be on the website.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. And then honestly, just look on those PDFs from that link I showed you too, because it's all there. Too. But yeah, that'll be all there for you. And that's really neat that the talking thing helped. It's worked with other students before, where I've just got them to describe a work, and I've talked about it in a really like beautifully succinct way. It's somehow like, because you can get so caught up in what you think you're meant to sound like, or it's cool. Yep.
Talking about the artist statement and the CV, how does it actually work for bigger exhibitions, like for the Christchurch Art Gallery? If you apply for a show, so is that a normal process that you hand in your CV, your artist statement, and propose the show? Or is that something you get invited to? How does it work for you?
Usually we get, and it's a mixture, get invited, definitely for, say, Christchurch Art Gallery. But I don't think there's anything wrong in, I don't know, or you should ask a curator, like sending I don't know.
So that's usually something you do, that you send a bigger proposal to those
galleries? Or? Well, how it's happened for me at Christchurch Art Gallery was just being invited, and then there's a conversation. So I would generally... It is an invitation, somebody's interested in your work, do you have an idea? Or they might have a kind of curatorial idea of why they've asked you, and then I will write back to them sort of a proposal, I guess, like suggesting what I might make and how the work would look.
Nice.
Yeah. I think... Well, it's neat that the physics room is just doing a call out for proposals. Because it's quite hard to find shows now, like, or places that are doing big call outs like that. Mm-hmm.
So places like physics room and everywhere else, we've
where.
Big idea or your other places keeping an eye on?
I've seen it on Instagram and their website. Could be on the Big Idea. I don't know. Mailing list. Yeah. Any other questions? Cool. Well, thanks so much for coming along. And
thank you.
Enjoy.